Good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. For the past couple of weeks, we have been examining a very popular doctrine called premillennialism and a particular strain of that doctrine known as dispensationalism. This doctrine teaches that when Jesus came to the earth the first time, he came intending to establish an earthly kingdom. However, the Jews rejected his offer of a kingdom, so Jesus withdrew his offer and postponed it, and established the church as a substitute. The doctrine asserts that Jesus will come back to this earth sometime in the future and establish his earthly kingdom, which was not established the first time, and that he will reign for a literal 1,000 years. They believe that Jesus then will sit upon the literal throne of David and reign over his earthly kingdom. Well, in our last two programs, we have shown that the Bible clearly reveals that the kingdom that was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets has been established, and it is the church that is revealed in the New Testament. We show that Jesus' kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom not of this world, a kingdom where he rules in the hearts of men. We have also shown that the Bible teaches that the prophecies that the Christ will sit upon the throne of David have been fulfilled. We prove from the Scriptures that Jesus is now sitting upon the throne of David, reigning as king over his kingdom. Now, if you would like to hear these broadcasts, you can hear them on our website. Our web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. Now, this premillennial doctrine also teaches that the physical nation of Israel is a very important part of God's plan to set up his kingdom here on this earth. They believe that the Jews must return to their land and once again become a great nation. They contend that the land promise that God gave Abraham and his descendants has not been completely fulfilled. They say the land promise will be fulfilled in the millennial reign of the Christ here on this earth. One writer who promotes this doctrine wrote, and I quote, "Premillennialism is the only system of interpretation which makes a place for a national future for Israel in which she possesses her land." This writer further states, "The crucial issues in relation to premillennialism are twofold. Number one, does the Abrahamic covenant promise Israel a permanent existence as a nation? If it does, then the church is not fulfilling Israel's promises, but rather Israel as a nation has a future yet in prospect. And number two, does the Abrahamic covenant promise Israel permanent possession of the promised land? If it does, then Israel must yet come into possession of the promised land, for she has never fully possessed it in her history." End of quote. And that is what they believe. They believe the land promised to Abraham has never been completely fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the millennial reign of Christ here on this earth. Well, in the lesson today, we want to address the question, has God's promises regarding the land given to the Israelites ever been completely fulfilled? Well, God gave three promises to Abraham. There was the nation promise, the land promise, and the seed promise. The nation promise was that God would make of Abraham's descendants a great nation of people. They would be as numerable as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. Genesis 12, verse 2, also Genesis 22, verse 17. And the land promise was that God would give to Abraham's descendants the land to which he brought Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 18 says that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." And then the seed promise was that in his seed, that is Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 22, verse 18. And the seed promise pointed to Jesus, who was the seed of Abraham, through whom all the nations are blessed. Now the question that we want to ask is, were the nation and land promises ever completely fulfilled? Concerning the nation promise, it was fulfilled. God told Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. Genesis 46, verse 3. And that's what happened. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 22, it says, your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 5 states, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And so they did become a great nation of people. That promise was fulfilled. Well, what about the land promise? Was it fulfilled? Well, when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, they eventually came to the promised land. The children of Israel, with God's help, took the land on the eastern side of the Jordan River. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, the children of Israel were told to separate three cities on this side of the Jordan that would be cities of refuge. Now, these cities would be cities where those people would flee who had killed someone unintentionally or accidentally. These would be cities of refuge for them. Well, Deuteronomy 19, verses 7 through 9 says, therefore I command you, saying, you shall separate three cities for yourself. Now, if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself beside these three. Now notice, it was promised that if the Lord enlarged their territory and gave them the land which he promised to give to their fathers, then they would add three more cities of refuge. Now, if we can find where God gave them three more cities of refuge, then would not that prove that God had given them the land which he had promised to their fathers? Well, sure it would. Well, in Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 9, we read of three more cities of refuge that were appointed on the western side of the Jordan River. Well, this proves that the land that God promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was given to the children of Israel. You know, the book of Joshua tells us about how the children of Israel invaded and conquered the land with God's help. Joshua 21, 43 through 45 then says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now this passage clearly reveals that God gave them all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers. You see, the land promise was fulfilled. Look with me also in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. It says, you are the Lord God, who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. Notice, God has performed his words. The land promise was fulfilled. Now, how then can it be said that it is to be fulfilled in a future millennial reign of Christ on the earth? You know, someone might be thinking, though, but they never did possess the full extent of the land that was promised. God promised Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 18, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. It is contended that they never did have all that land from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. They say it will be given to them in the millennial reign of Christ. But this is not true. We know that in the days of Solomon, the king, he reigned over all this land. In 1 Kings 4 and verse 21 it says, so Solomon reigned over all the kingdom, notice, from the river, that's the river Euphrates, to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. And so the full extent of the land was given to them. The greater land promise was fulfilled. And so this is not a promise that has to be fulfilled in the future. It has already been fulfilled. But someone else might be saying, well, didn't God promise to give the land to them forever? God said to Abraham in Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15, that he would give the land to him and his descendants forever. Also in Genesis 17, verse 8, God said to Abraham that he would give to him and his descendants after him all the land of Canaan as a, quote, everlasting possession. Well, the premillennialists then contend that Israel has a perpetual title to the land of promise. However, the word forever and everlasting in these passages come from the Hebrew word olam. Gesenius, in his lexicon, observes that while the Hebrew word olam can mean eternity, it properly signifies, quote, what is hidden, especially hidden time, long, the beginning or end of which is either uncertain or else not defined, end of quote. And so the word is not always used in the Bible in a completely unlimited sense, meaning time without end. It often means the entire duration of a specific period of time. It is sometimes defined by the phrase age lasting. For example, in Genesis 17, verse 13, we read of circumcision being a part of an, quote, everlasting covenant, olam. But we know that circumcision as a religious rite came to an end. Read Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. Circumcision served its purpose and then it ended. Also in Exodus 12 and verse 14, we read that the Passover, which was a feast in commemoration of the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt, is a, quote, everlasting ordinance, olam. But we know that the Passover feast of the Jews is no longer binding today. Read Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. The Passover feast served its purpose, but then ceased. And there are other examples of how the Hebrew word olam is used to mean age-lasting. And so when it says that the land was given to them forever, olam, it doesn't mean time without end. When the land given to the children of Israel served its purpose, it then was taken away. And by the way, if the land promise was truly forever, meaning never ending, then the possession of the land by the modern state of Israel during the alleged millennial reign of Christ here on earth will not fulfill it. You see, according to them, it will come to an end at the end of 1,000 years. Well, the point that we're making today is that the land promise given to Abraham was completely fulfilled, and that there is no promise concerning the land of Israel that must be fulfilled sometime in the future. Well, we want to talk more about this next week, so we hope that you will join us at that time. If you have a Bible question that you would like for us to address on this program, or if you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program, or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, then we would like to hear from you. There are three ways that you may send in your questions or make your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.